This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming show where we get intimate one-on-one on a topic. My name is Elliot, and I'm joined by Vivian today.
Hello.
Hi, Vivian.
It's nice to be here in this steamy hot room.
Do you feel intimate?
I feel so intimate.
This is your first intimate moment.
Oh, yes. Go easy on me. Be gentle.
Well, I've never personally been intimate with a woman before. So we'll see where this goes.
My gosh.
Today we are talking about emulation, though. That's the topic of this conversation. And gaming emulation, which is essentially where you take a product that was only available on like a particular console or platform and you recreate it in a new format. So typically what that is it'll be recreated on a PC. So you'll take a console game or a console hardware and transition it onto the PC and allow you to play that game on your PC.
Yeah, so it's available to everyone to play, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is great for those really, really old games that you can't get a hold of anymore.
Right, because, they just don't exist in any, like, legal format.
Yeah.
But this topic has come up because recently, actually, a group called, and I'm going to see if I can pronounce this right, Simu or Simu?
Simu.
I kind of like Simu.
Simu!
What they're essentially doing is they're emulating The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. They're porting it from the Wii U version onto the PC.
Ah, that's actually great.
Well, it's so fresh because the game only just came out, but it's causing a lot of controversy.
I guess it would, yeah.
Essentially, this game, like, it's a big game for Nintendo, and Nintendo have already come out and said, I hate emulators, like, because to a game developer, it's essentially piracy.
Yeah.
You're getting their game for free because you don't have to pay for an emulation. You just download it as you would a pirated copy of a game.
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously, Nintendo in particular wants you to buy their console to play their games.
Especially since, you know, with the Switch coming out, you know, that's one of the big staple games that everyone wants to get the console
that
for.
That console can live and die by that one game.
Exactly.
And so for it to be available on another format, like, oh, that's risky, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I see it as a good thing for me because I can't afford to get a Switch at this point in time. And also because, you know, not having many games on it at the moment, there's no real point, really. Just to have that one game at this point in time, you know. Obviously, they're going to be releasing games further down the line.
Is this something you would be inclined to do then, to emulate the Switch?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I'd really love to give Breath of the Wild a go, but obviously not having a Switch is just like so sad.
Do you run through like any moral implications in that decision though? Because for me, it would be like, obviously I want to do this, but is it the right thing to do?
Oh, see, that's a hard question there, isn't it? It's tough to say. Oh, now you're making me question my morals here. This is too intimate.
We get intimate. Like, I'll just like turn you into somebody who just hates themselves.
Oh, it's happening. It's starting. No,
it is hard.
But I think for things like this where it's not easily accessible, yeah, that's okay by my moral conscience, because the way I see it is that when I can afford to, I will buy those things because I've enjoyed them, obviously. So
yeah,
if it's a flop, obviously, then it's
so essentially,
then I wouldn't really be putting money into their coffers, essentially.
Right.
I wouldn't
so
go out and buy
their
game.
So you get it for free now, and then later down the line, you'll probably end up paying for it once there's more stuff available.
Exactly, yeah. And that's kind of like my moral conscience to things. And that's the same thing, you know, with torrenting things as well, like most people do these days, is if it's something you love and you really enjoyed, then you would go out and, like, put your money to it, essentially. You would help give credit to those companies that made those.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's how they make their money.
Exactly.
Okay, now here's where it gets really interesting. So, CMU, which is what I'm now going to assume they're called, they're actually getting paid to do this. So, they're being crowdfunded via Patreon, which is a service that lets people put down like a monthly donation that'll keep going month after month while the project is in action. And so, the people behind CMU are actually getting, the last I heard, $22,000 per month on this project.
Whoa!
And emulation is this really tricky one because it's not the same as piracy. You can't create a pirated object and get paid for it because that's illegal. Whereas emulation isn't illegal in some senses. So for instance, if I were to purchase Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, a Switch version, I could then emulate it on the PC and it's not an illegal process.
Oh, but my gosh.
The flip side being, a lot of the people emulating this will be doing it illegally.
Yes, yeah, and that's the big question there, is it? My gosh.
We're just jumping into the heart of it now. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so early from release, that's and getting paid for it as well, it's just, that's a little bit too seedy for my taste, honestly. I probably wouldn't, because they're getting paid for it.
Yeah.
Essentially. So that money should be going towards the developers of the game in the first place.
Essentially, you would assume so, because the people who are donating to this Patreon are people who want to play this game, you would assume. And so, if you're putting money towards something you want to play, it should go to the people who made it.
Exactly! And that's what I don't understand about this.
But emulation isn't illegal. And so, let's say that everyone who does end up emulating Breath of the Wild is doing it legally, then why doesn't somebody who is legally creating a program to allow for emulation, why shouldn't they get paid for it?
Oh, I see it as kind of like the gamer's moral compass of pretty much, like, if you didn't personally work on it, you shouldn't be getting money for something like this. For emulation, I'd see it as almost like a fan service of someone who's really passionate about the game, wanting to allow other people to play this on a different system if they don't obviously have the right consoles or ways of playing it.
So in a sense, it's kind of like modding in your eyes, because modding is free for the most part, but it's just this additional thing that people can create in their spare time and give to the people, but you're not paying for it.
Yeah, technically, I guess it would be very similar in that sense of the community kind of coming together and, you know, freely giving people access to something they may not be able to play otherwise.
Right, and that's one of the, like, various reasons people would give to emulating and the way they justify it in their own mind. Like, I wouldn't play this otherwise. The developer would never have gotten my money because I'm not buying a Switch just for one game. So they're not losing out on anything, but I still get to play it if I'm emulating.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess with that, it also brings up the question with games that are no longer available. So games that have gone out of the system, essentially, are no longer being published.
Now, this is something I've actually done personally, because I don't, for moral reasons, I choose not to pirate and emulate, but I have before emulated a older game, System Shock, actually, because I was never able to play it. Having said that, it was then later made available through GOG, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And I could have purchased it, but I still didn't, because I had already experienced the game.
Did you feel dirty?
I didn't at the time, but maybe, like, reminiscing on it a little bit. Like, I enjoyed an experience, and the developer never got any money for that. But having said that, it wasn't available for me to purchase when I did make that choice. So I just, like, I had my hands tied almost. Like, I wanted to experience this thing because it came out at a time before, like, I was way too young to be experienced games like that at the time. But, you know, I want to relive them and go back to the good old days, I guess.
Yeah, I think emulation should be kind of centered around that, essentially, is, you know, games that you can't really get a hand on anymore. Like I know for like old PS2 games that are very, very hard to come by. Two games that come to mind are Rule of Rose and Haunting Ground, which are two horror games, and they're very rare, essentially.
So rare that I haven't heard of them.
Really? Are you kidding me?
Sorry.
Oh, they are great games. And they're just, because they're so rare, it's there's not many copies that you can get, and the copies that you can get are very expensive to buy.
Right.
So with things like that, I think emulation is great, because how else are you going to experience something like that?
Yeah. And that's kind of what emulation allows people to do. Like, there are also handheld emulators. So emulators for the 3DS and the DS and stuff, which means you can actually have a sit-down console or PC-type experience with a handheld game.
Oh,
and so
wow.
It's just offering, like, yet another way to experience and enjoy a product that wouldn't necessarily have otherwise been, you know, able to have done.
Yeah.
So emulation has its benefits. It has its downfalls. Will you emulate? Have you emulated, Vivian, and will you emulate in the future?
Oh, see, I have not emulated yet, because it's just been something that I haven't fully understood myself. So not really fully understanding it, I haven't really wanted to go into the process, but it's been something that I've been wanting to do, only for the older games that aren't available.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I was saying before that I would love to get Breath of the Wild, I
change
wouldn't because... no, it's...
That's right. Off air, you can tell the truth.
it seems kind of wrong to me, honestly. As much as I like really, really want to,
it's hard because there is that temptation. Like, I'm a PC player, and most of these emulators run on PC. Like, that's their intent. And just by being a PC player, like, I don't buy consoles anymore. I haven't for such a long time, but I miss out on a lot, and I know I miss out on a lot, and I wish I didn't miss out on all those games, but. I just can't justify multiple consoles, so I just choose to ignore the exclusives for the most part, or I'll watch them on YouTube, or I'll play them at a friend's house, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, being able to emulate opens up all these avenues, but at some point you've got to say enough is enough. Like, if I'm playing 30 different PlayStation exclusives, I should probably be giving Sony some money.
Yes, probably.
All right, well, thank you so much. You guys have been listening to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. So intimate. Did you feel the intimacy?
I felt the intimacy. It was great. Thank you,
Vivian.
So much.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.